Welcome to the Deep Dive. I'm so glad you could join us today because we are looking at a technological landscape where a pretty fundamental rule of engineering has been completely and just quietly rewritten.
Yeah, it really has.
Right. It used to be that if a system broke or, you know, a threat appeared, a human being was the one who noticed it and stepped in to fix it. We had our hands on the steering wheel.
Exactly. We were in control.
But looking through today's source material, which is the Tech in Morning Tech Intelligence Brief from Tuesday, September 1st, 2026, it is incredibly clear that human reaction time is, well, it's officially obsolete.
It really is. It's too slow.
Way too slow. So today we are going to unpack a single day of intelligence that covers planetary scale AI defense meshes, astronomical space observations, legacy code crises, and the fierce battle for data sovereignty.
It's a massive lineup.
It is. And the running theme through all of this for you listening is the double-edged sword of massive, unprecedented technological scale. Okay, let's unpack this because we have to start with the most pressing existential threat in the brief, which is the weaponization of frontier language models.
Yeah, we're seeing a massive paradigm shift in how malware actually operates.
Right.
We're no longer dealing with, you know, static scripts executing a predetermined set of instructions. Mm-hmm. The brief details this huge spike in agentic cyber attacks.
Agentic meaning they, like, act on their own.
Exactly. These are autonomous AI models capable of multi-stage vulnerability discovery. They're essentially dropped into a network environment and just left to hunt.
So they aren't just blindly knocking on a specific port.
No, not at all.
They are actively analyzing the architecture they find themselves in. And if they hit a modern endpoint detection response, like an EDR, they don't just fail and trigger an alert.
Right, they dynamically mutate.
Wow.
The payload recompiles itself in memory, altering its behavioral signature to bypass whatever specific heuristic barrier it just ran into.
That is terrifying.
It is, because they adapt their tactics at the speed of silicon. If a human security operations center is relied upon to intervene, I mean, the intrusion, the lateral movement, the data exfiltration, it's all fully completed before the analyst monitor even flashes the very first warning.
Which perfectly explains the absolutely unprecedented industry response that the brief detailed.
Yeah, it was a massive move.
Over 130 major tech giants, and we are talking fierce market rivals here. OpenAI, Microsoft, Google, Anthropic, Amazon, AWS, Cloudflare. They have completely bypassed normal regulatory red tape to form a collective treaty called the Defensive Surge Initiative.
What's fascinating here is the sheer infrastructural weight of the technical architecture they've deployed to counter this.
It's not just a chat room where they share tips.
No, they couldn't just share threat intelligence databases anymore. They had to create this interconnected telemetry mesh across global cloud infrastructure. At the absolute edge nodes of these networks, they are running highly optimized local AI evaluators.
So right at the entry points.
Exactly. These evaluators sit at the hypervisor level, and they are monitoring low-level socket activity, process memory allocation anomalies, unexpected privilege escalations, all in real time.
It's like it's a literal global digital immune system.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah, like if a single server in Tokyo encounters one of these newly mutated, never-before-seen agentic payloads, the edge node analyzes it, generates a cryptographically signed behavioral signature, and broadcasts that mitigation across the entire global distributed mesh. And the brief notes, this happens in under 200 milliseconds.
Sub-second global synchronization.
It's insane. The entire global body receives the vaccine in literally the blink of an eye, updating dynamic BGP routing and firewall rules before the exploit can even, you know, traverse a transatlantic cable.
But the structural trade-off required to achieve that 200 millisecond response time is massive.
Right. There's always a catch.
Always. To make zero-trust dynamic containment function at this scale, the system has to transparently redirect suspect sessions into synthetic sandboxes to extract the AI's reasoning logs.
Wow.
And the brief notes that cybersecurity ethicists are raising some serious alarms about this architecture.
I can see why.
Yeah, by definition, to catch a machine speed mutation, this coalition has instituted centralized surveillance choke points over all international data transit.
Wait, so to make that work, they have to inspect the payload logic on the fly? They're actively looking at the traffic?
Every bit of it, yeah.
So going back to the immune system analogy, it has to monitor every single drop of blood in the body, which effectively means this consortium has built a global telemetry pipeline capable of monitoring nearly all international transit.
That's exactly what the ethicists are pointing out.
The ethical report in the brief It frames it impartially as a necessary shield against machine speed threats. But the sheer computing power required to run a neural evaluator mesh of that size is mind-boggling. I mean, you cannot run 200 millisecond global AI sandboxing on standard server CPUs.
No, you need custom hyperdense silicon. And the telemetry demands of this defensive surge initiative, it perfectly contextualizes the escalation we are seeing in high-performance computing hardware right now.
Which brings us to the new AMD gear.
Exactly. AMD and Cisco have just commercially activated a massive 10 exaflop AI supercomputing cluster.
Pushing 10 exaflops, for you listening, that is 10 quintillion floating point operations a second.
It's hard to even conceptualize.
The hardware specs in the Grief are just staggering. This cluster is built on AMD's next-generation CDNA4 architecture. It integrates tens of thousands of Instinct MI355X accelerators. Wow. And the specific metric the Brie highlights is that each of these accelerators is packed with 288 gigabytes of ultra-dense HBM3E memory. Why is that specific 288-gigabyte threshold so critical?
Well, in large language model inference, memory bandwidth and local VRAM capacity are the ultimate bottlenecks.
Right.
When you are dealing with massive neural models, especially the KV cache generated during really long context windows, you want to avoid offloading data across the PCIe bus to system memory.
Because it slows everything down.
Exactly. Having 288 gigabytes of HBM3E locally on the silicon means you can hold massive model weights directly on the chip itself. You eliminate the memory wall. And to tie it all together, they're using Cisco Silicon One 800 gigabit per second switching infrastructure.
So they're basically preventing traffic jams between thousands of chips, keeping the data flowing at near optical limits.
Precisely.
But here's a really interesting divergence in the Brief. We have this monster AMD supercomputing cluster proving that centralized massive scale is totally possible. But in parallel, Adobe is spending $4 billion to deploy localized instances of its Firefly generative AI across sovereign data hubs in the Middle East.
Yeah, it's a huge pivot.
Right. Wait, so instead of one massive global brain, Adobe is building localized brains. Is this just about them escaping NVIDIA's market dominance, or is this a geopolitical play for data control?
The hardware diversification is it's a side benefit. The primary driver here is the geopolitical reality of data sovereignty.
Okay, unpack that.
The era of the single borderless global cloud is fracturing. Massive regional enterprises and state actors, they demand the generative capabilities of models like Firefly, but they flat out refuse to route their proprietary corporate or state data through centralized telemetry pipelines hosted in the United States or Europe.
Ah, they want the AI tools, but they want to own the factory and lock the doors.
That's a great analogy. By hosting the model weights and training pipelines locally on isolated AMD infrastructure, Adobe can guarantee strict data localization. The data never traverses an international border.
Which provides ultra-low latency inference, too.
Yeah, while satisfying regional data protection regulations, it is a fundamental pivot from a globalized cloud back to heavily fortified localized computing islands.
That desire for decentralized sovereign control is clearly driving massive infrastructure investments.
Absolutely.
But that desire often violently collides with the harsh realities of security. I mean, when you pull away from centralized oversight, things can go wrong very quickly, which brings us to the massive exploit in the decentralized finance world. The Kronos blockchain just suffered a $75 million macroeconomic attack.
Right. The Kronos network, which operates as an EVM-compatible layer one supported by Crypto.com, Dash Shaw, an attacker, target a decentralized lending protocol called Tectonic.
The Brief specifies this was a spot market Oracle skewing attack manipulating the Tectonic protocol's native token, TAM.
Yes.
Walk us through the mechanics of this. How do you mathematically trick a smart contract into giving you $75 million?
Well, the vulnerability lies in how the protocol calculates the value of collateral. The attacker identified that the TM token had very shallow liquidity inside a specific automated market maker, or AMM, pool.
Okay, so not a lot of money in that specific pool.
Right. Because the liquidity was thin, a large influx of capital could drastically alter the spot price. The attacker utilized rapid, localized flash loans to execute massive swaps. This temporarily drained the pool of its counterpart asset and artificially inflated the on-chain spot price of Tonic to hundreds of times its actual market value.
So they force the on-chain math to momentarily believe this relatively illiquid token is suddenly incredibly valuable.
Exactly.
And before the broader market can arbitrage that price back to reality, they use their artificially inflated Tonic as collateral to take out a massive loan against real, deep liquidity assets.
You got it. They systematically drain the protocol, borrowing more than $75 million in Tier 1 assets. We're talking USDC, USDT, Wrapped Ethereum, and Wrapped Bitcoin.
Just walked away with it.
Mostly. They successfully bridged about $6 million off-chain, moving it through mixers and out of the Kronos ecosystem entirely.
But they didn't get the rest because the Kronos validator quorum executed an emergency out-of-band coordination call and initiated an immediate consensus halt.
Which is huge.
Yeah, they manually froze the entire blockchain, locking the remaining $69 million inside the smart contract. So what does this all mean?
It's a massive philosophical debate.
Right, because if a group of validators can just jump on a conference call and pause the whole system, isn't that just a traditional bank with extra steps? What happened to blockchain immutability? Code is law, right? No central authority can interfere.
You are isolating the core paradox of pragmatic decentralization right there. In theory, immutability is absolute. But when an algorithmic oversight allows a malicious actor to walk out the door with $75 million of user funds, ideological purity gives way to financial preservation.
It's very easy to champion code as law until the code allows your specific wallet to be drained.
Precisely. And we have seen this exact tension repeatedly. During the BNB chain exploit in 2022, an attacker forged cryptographic proofs in a cross-chain bridge, putting $570 million at risk.
Right, I remember that.
The validator said, coordinated a pause, and deployed a hard fork to patch the vulnerability. We've also seen the Solana network undergo recurring coordinated validator cluster restarts to resolve state desyncs caused by transaction volume saturation.
So halting the chain practically works. I mean, they saved $69 million here.
It stops the bleeding, yeah, but the reputational friction is immense. Every time a layer one network intervenes at the consensus level, it proves that the system relies on trust. You are trusting a concentrated subset of validators to act in the collective best interest.
Which completely undermines the premise of a trustless architecture.
Completely.
Well, speaking of vulnerabilities in architecture, while the crypto world battles cutting-edge economic exploits, the traditional gaming industry is currently facing a massive crisis caused by incredibly old code.
Yeah, this one is wild.
The brief covers a massive corporate intellectual property breach, a 12-terabyte uncompressed archive of Valve Corporation's proprietary development repositories has leaked.
A leak? Of that magnitude, 12 terabytes of source code is just a catastrophic event for cybersecurity telemetry.
It includes complete source engine code trees from 2003 to 2013. We are talking unreleased Portal 2 builds, internal networking for CSGO, and Team Fortress 2. But the brief mentions that flagship games have already migrated to Source 2.
Right, they moved on.
So if this code is a decade old, why is the security community in emergency audit mode?
This raises an important question about the long tail of software infrastructure. The flagship titles may have moved on, but hundreds of active community servers, custom modifications, and immensely popular games like Garry's Mod, they still rely heavily on the legacy C++ networking pipelines documented in this exact leak.
It's like finding the master blueprints for thousands of active bank vaults built in the 2000s, only to realize they all use the exact same rusty padlock today.
That is exactly what it's like. The specific vulnerability lies in the low-level packet handling logic routines like NetChannel and the VPK package validation pipelines.
And those are old.
Very. These are written in older C++ frameworks that are notoriously prone to memory mismanagement if they aren't rigorously sandboxed.
Because with the raw source code public, threat actors don't have to guess how the server parses incoming UDP packets. They can see exactly where the buffer overflows or out-of-bounds reads occur.
And that drastically lowers the barrier for discovering unauthenticated remote code execution or RCE flaws.
Which is the worst case scenario.
Yeah. A bad actor could craft a malicious data packet, send it to a community server, and achieve arbitrary code execution before the server even asks for authentication. The attack surface of legacy architecture never truly goes away. It just sits there waiting to be mapped.
Which perfectly explains why modern developers are so desperate to avoid legacy bottlenecks and push modern hardware to its absolute limit. And that brings us to the consumer hardware updates in the brief.
The new console generation.
Yep. Playground Games and Microsoft are staggering the launch of Forza Horizon 6.
The production update indicates they are prioritizing the high-end PC and Xbox platforms to finalize their bespoke real-time ray-traced global illumination, the RTGI pipelines.
Okay.
And they're doing that alongside incredibly demanding volumetric weather simulations.
Volumetric weather. So the fog and rain aren't just like flat screen space textures. They have physical density that actually reacts to the ray trace light bounces.
Exactly.
That kind of simulation is incredibly computationally expensive, which is why the PlayStation 5 release is being delayed for focused API optimization. But here's where it gets really interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Sony is simultaneously preparing a mid-September state of play, heavily emphasizing the new PS5 Pro. And the focus is on native 4K at 60 frames per second. But they aren't achieving this just by throwing raw brute force silicon at the render pipeline.
No, they are relying on PSSR, PlayStation Spectral Super Resolution. Is a proprietary machine learning upscaler.
Which ties us right back to the AI silicon boom we discussed earlier.
Yeah.
Even in consumer living rooms, we are moving away from sheer brute force native rendering.
We have to. As graphical complexity scales with things like full scene RTGI, Moore's Law simply cannot keep pace with the sheer pixel count required for native 4K.
It's just too much math.
Way too much. Traditional spatial upscalers, like older versions of FSR, they just look at the current frame and try to sharpen the edges.
Right.
But PSSR leverages a dedicated neural processing unit to analyze previous frame histories, motion vectors, and the current low-resolution render to intelligently infer and inject missing high-frequency details.
So the console isn't drawing the whole picture. It's rendering a lower-resolution foundation and using AI to hallucinate the rest of the visual fidelity in real time. Machine learning is bridging the mathematical gap between our visual ambitions and the physical limitations of consumer silicon.
It is the only mathematically sustainable path forward for real-time rendering.
That is wild. Okay, we've tracked AI predicting pixels in our living rooms, exaflops of processing power, fortifying sovereign data hubs, and global AI firewalls mitigating threats in 200 milliseconds.
A lot of computing power.
It is. Now let's take all of this advanced optics, telemetry, and massive data processing power and launch it 1.5 million kilometers away from Earth.
NASA's Nancy Grace Roman Space Telescope.
Yes. The brief confirms a flawless launch on a SpaceX Falcon Heavy, initiating a 100-day cruise to the Sun-Earth Lagrange Point 2, or L2.
The RUS is the same gravitationally balanced orbital neighborhood where the James Webb Space Telescope currently sits.
Right, because being 1.5 million kilometers out provides the thermal stability these ultra-precise instruments need to operate without Earth's ambient heat just totally blinding them.
Exactly.
The Roman Telescope features a 2.4-meter primary mirror, structurally similar to Hubble, but its 300-megapixel wide-field instrument captures a field of view 100 times larger than Hubble while maintaining the exact same near-infrared spatial resolution.
The expanded survey bandwidth is revolutionary, but the real engineering marvel of the payload is the active coronagraph instrument, the CGI.
Reading the technical specs on the CGI in the brief is mind-bending. The coronagraph uses micro-adjustable deformable mirrors to suppress the light of host stars by a factor of 10 billion, 10 to the negative 10th power.
It's almost impossible to picture.
I was trying to come up with an analogy. Suppressing light by a factor of 10 billion is like trying to clearly photograph a single firefly resting on the lens of a lighthouse searchlight from miles away without the searchlight blinding your camera.
That is a perfect analogy. The mechanical precision required to achieve that optical contrast is astounding. The deformable mirrors use microscopic actuators adjusting thousands of times per second to correct wavefront errors and create destructive interference.
So they are actively canceling the light out.
Yes, they are actively inverting the phase of the starlight to cancel it out, leaving only the incredibly dim light reflecting off orbiting exoplanets.
Which means astronomers won't just detect these planets via transit dips like watching a shadow cross a star. They will directly image them and spectrally analyze their atmospheric chemistry to look for things like methane or water vapor.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the Roman Space Telescope represents a massive shift from targeted observation to massive statistical aggregation.
Oh, so?
Because of its 100 times larger field of view, Roman will catalog millions of galaxies in single snapshots. It is designed to map cosmic acceleration and measure the gravitational lensing effects of dark matter across vast stretches of cosmic time. It isn't just a telescope. It is an automated wide-field statistical engine for astrophysics.
Which brings us full circle to the sheer scale of the systems operating just out of sight. We've navigated from decentralized validator quorums freezing millions in assets and legacy C++ code threatening modern servers to 10 exaflop sovereign superclusters and AI meshes rewriting their own firewall rules globally in under 200 milliseconds.
Yeah, it's a completely different world.
And now, an automated statistical engine mapping the invisible dark matter of the universe. For you listening, just think about the scale of the systems running quietly in the background of your daily digital life.
And across every single piece of intelligence in this brief, a profound structural shift is occurring.
Right.
Human reaction time is being systematically engineered out of the loop.
Yeah.
The architectures we are deploying today, whether they are defending global network traffic, upscaling real-time rendering, or surveying millions of galaxies, are entirely too complex and far too fast for human cognition to actively manage.
We couldn't do it if we tried.
Exactly. It leaves us with a really vital question to consider. As we continue to build and rely on these massively autonomous systems, are we still the ones steering our technological future? Or have we transitioned into just being passengers on an incredibly fast autonomous ship?
A ship moving at 200 milliseconds per decision, hallucinating its own graphics and charting the dark matter of the universe on autopilot. The wheel might still be in the cockpit, but it isn't connected to the axle anymore. We hope this deep dive gave you some new perspectives on the immense, unseen forces shaping our digital and physical universe. Keep questioning the systems around you, and we will catch you on the next deep dive. Take care.